What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Boiler Up with Rayfield Davis podcast, brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, comment. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know if you got any guests of choice. But today we got one of my favorite Boilermakers, a young legend, one of our youngest legend, the first player ever in Purdue history to have 1,500 points, 700 rebounds. What was it? 300 assists? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, something
guy that finished Purdue in a he finished Purdue in the top 15 of rebounds, scoring, three pointers. I want to say assists. I mean, 3-point field goal percentage. I mean, a guy that is an unbelievable player, unbelievable person, a great leader. Was a catalyst to the turnaround. Had a lot of responsibility on his shoulders as a freshman. No further ado, Vince Edwards. What's up, Vince? How you doing?
What's good, bro? How you feeling?
I can't complain, man. I always enjoy having talking to people I play with, man, because I know kind of some things, and I was there, but I kind of want to see it from your perspective, a lot of stuff. But I do want to start with what's going on now, Vince, kind of how you doing through COVID. I know you're still playing ball. Kind of what's going through?
Obviously, everyday struggle that everybody have, man. COVID's been a huge effect on all of us, so just trying to take it serious and take the, you know, the cautious steps that we need to take to get through this as, you know, as a world and as together. Currently right now, out in, on Disney campus in Orlando, Florida, we in the G League bubble, as people have been calling it, the bubble out here. So with Oklahoma City Blue playing down here right now, and been down here since the end of January. We got here, well, went to Oklahoma City first, had a quarantine for seven days, like a week. And got here, had to quarantine for 4 days, and then we kind of got out and got to it. So,
what's that like having to, I mean, because I'm out of the game. I'm not playing. I'm not lifting the weights. I'm not having to be in the gym. But what's that like having to go through COVID as a player, as somebody that's used to being able to get to the gym whenever they want to?
It's tough because just like you said, like that 24/7 hour access you got, it's a little different now just because of all the cautions that the league wants to take to make sure everybody's healthy, and not even just us as players, like essential workers, you know, coaches, everybody. So it's a little bit more tough because you can't wake up in the middle of the night. You know, you had the time where you can go punch in the code at Mackey and go get in. Like, you know, last year I was in Oklahoma City. So when I was not on the road, I can go to the facility 24/7 access anytime I wanted to. But now that we in like the bubble in the G League, kind of like similar with the different NBA, it's like everybody has their own court slotted time. So if you want to go get extra work in, there ain't no other time to do it besides when you're in the gym. Then when the season starts, it's even harder because now you got games coming back to back. Like we playing back to backs, day off, play a game, day off, then you got another back to back. So it's definitely difficult to balance that thin line between like getting extra work in but saving your body as well.
No, yeah, no doubt. And that's got to be tough. So I commend you for everything you putting your body through, because I know you're coming off an injury, because that could be tough coming back. So especially can be tough coming back in a situation like now. So now you're getting back in playing shape. So, I mean, I wish you the best going forward with that. But I want to know a lot about Vincent, the player before Purdue. Coming up in Ohio, what was that like? When did you touch a ball? I know your dad and your brother, they played ball. I know your dad was really good. What was that like coming up for you?
It was cool, man, because, I mean, small city. So where I was from, Middletown, everybody, you know, kind of recognized, you know, who we were as a family just because, you know, the things my dad did. And we came through that community as a whole family, and dads, uncles, brothers, you know, mom. So, like, it was somewhere our roots had already been planted. And it was just pretty cool, man, because I was very fortunate. I didn't grow around the NBA game, but I thought from my perspective, it was even better to grow around the European game. Mm-hmm. So I got to see a lot of guys that people just got introduced to when they got to NBA. So I got to see Andre Kirilenko, Tony Parker, mm-hmm. the Pietrus brothers, so you know, Manu. And then my dad ended up playing for the same coach that Dirk used to coach. So it was cool, man, because I got to travel the world and kind of be on the opposite side of the spectrum, you know, to see how I feel to be a foreign exchange student. So I thought that was pretty cool. And obviously got to travel with my brothers and my uncle. You know, we made good memories, great memories. My mom was there with us, you know, when she could be, when she wasn't at home working, trying to provide as well. So it was cool, man. My mom was a hooper too. She'll never let me forget that, because if I do, she'll get on me. So, People don't know that, man.
People
leave her
I
out
didn't know that.
Because she kind of, her career got cut short. She had my oldest brother, you know, so she took
What's
care of her
up?
responsibilities. But she's the reason why I'm big on fundamental things, free throws, box outs, rebounds,
That's dope.
using the glass. Like
That's
that's all my
dope.
mom, man. She stays on that. But it was great, man. It was great growing up with that family and that support system. With my dad, my brothers, you know, my mom, uncles, you know, cousins, everybody who was around, man, they were just always pushing me. Like everywhere I went, it didn't matter if I was, you know, fifth grade, they'd pick me up and let me play and let me learn on the fly. So
Right.
I think that was amazing. And then also, like, just going through the process in Middletown and having my brother go to high school and do what his class did, I used to always look up to everybody in his class. So he kind of gave me something to chase, you know. So that's why I was able, you know, to set some of the records I did in high school because I was just trying to be better than my brother.
Right, yeah, no doubt. I get that. That makes a lot of sense. Because you can, even when you got to school, you can see that relationship between you and your brother. And you can tell, I knew from the jump, because I got an older brother, I knew from the jump how much your brother cared about you. You get what I'm saying? So that
Facts.
was real big. You can see how that carried on throughout your whole family. So that's real cool. When did you realize that basketball was something for you? Because I know you play multiple sports. And like you said, because a lot of guys can come up in a basketball family, but it may not be for them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Basketball may not be something they like. But when did you realize not only that you enjoyed it, but that you were really good at it?
I think I realized I enjoyed it. My dad, first off, my dad was like one of them parents. He didn't want us to feel like we had to play basketball just because he played. So at first, I was playing indoor soccer. I was playing baseball. I was playing football. And I was also playing basketball. But you realize how much more energy you had as a kid growing up. Like, I used to go from indoor soccer to football practice. Like, it was nothing. Like,
That's hard.
and playing quarterback, too. So, like, it was nothing to me back then. But, like, now I would not make it, man. I had so many injuries. But I just realized it because, like, it was a way for me to bond with my dad. Me and my dad were really close growing up. And he started to see how serious I wanted to take it. And he started getting me to the gym more. And every time we would go, he'd be like, left hand, left hand, left hand. Like, he's like, I know you're right-handed, so we're going to do everything left-handed. And even my mom, like, sometimes my mom would go, we had a court in our backyard, you know, fortunate enough to have that. My mom would come out there and shoot with us. We'd play horse. Like, it's just all type of things like that. So I think not only was it something I wanted to do because the people in my life, like, I looked up to them and they were doing it, but it was also something that, like, gelled us together as a family. So, like, when people talk about basketball taking you places and things in that nature, like, basketball really like gelled my family together as well. So like that's why I always owe the game the utmost respect for it because it's done so much more to me than just playing, you know. So I think that was the biggest thing for me. So I would just say I started really enjoying it and I got better like by my freshman to sophomore year because that's when I kind of started getting my national, you know, recognition. I knew it was taking a turn because a lot of times growing up, I was the taller person. So they had me playing the five a lot. Like I was probably like 5'11", 6 foot, sixth grade, like ain't too tall, but it's ahead of, you
Nah,
know,
that's tall,
of,
man.
You know? So like, and so my AU team, like a couple of my classmates, we got one of the biggest classes to come out of the city. Like a lot of guys in my class, we was all like, my senior night, our start lineup was 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", 6'7", 6'8". Like, so we was like one of the
They
biggest classes
y'all.
To come out of. Right. And about sixth grade, they were kind of looking, they were like, man, we need somebody who can play the wing. Cause we had guards, we had bigs, we didn't have a true wing.
Facts.
And they just knew my history, like my brother and my dad. And it was like, you know what, Vince, like, what you think about, you know, moving out there? And I was like, I mean, you know, me, I'm like, yeah, whatever, sure, like, let's get after it. And I went from being a post-up player originally to transforming into this wing. And that's when really when things started kind of unfolding for me. And then I kept progressing. By the time eighth grade comes, I'm about 6'3", 6'4". And then eighth grade year, I got my first dunk in the game. So then I was like, man, okay, like this can really take off for me. Like,
I'm here
going
now.
Good. Yeah, it's going good. And my dad was my coach, man, and he was always on me. So I knew, like, when my dad and my brothers being my coaches, they weren't those type of coaches to kind of be like, you know, like, my son and my brother the best on the team, so he going to play regardless. Like, no, right. Like, if I was being trash, I wasn't seeing the floor. Like, if I came out not playing – if the team came out not ready, I was the one getting yelled at. You know, they was chewing me out. So
right.
Regardless of what, one thing I did love about my family is like, it don't matter what I did, boy, I could have 40. My dad would be like, you missed this free throw, you missed that, you did this. I scored 41 points my senior one time. And he was like, you missed this, easy button, you missed that one, you missed this. So it's
right.
That was a good thing about my people. But it was probably about my sophomore year, man. Like I said, I started to get that recognition nationally. I finally just got ranked top 100. I got invited to the Super Sophomore Camp. And my mom was just like, it was really my mom, man. She was really the changing factor because I played quarterback all the way into my freshman year. So going into my sophomore year, my mom's like, what you want to do? She was like, you playing quarterback, you 6'5". She was like, but you got guys. She was worried about people diving at my knees because me playing quarterback a lot, like they was going low.
Right.
She was like, if you really want to do basketball, I don't know if you can do both. Right. And looking back, I kind of mad because I did want to play football because I loved football too. Like I love playing quarterback. Like that was so much fun. But at the same time, like she kind of honed down on it. And that's what made me realize. I'm like, okay, like let's just kind of take hoop serious. And then from that moment forward, I was just in the gym, getting in the gym, like just focus on it. And every year just try to get better and keep progressing.
That's what's up. And when, because I mean, being from Ohio and being as good as you were in high school, being kind of what you turned into, how did you get to Purdue? What's your recruiting process like?
Recruiting process was kind of, it was a little slow start at first, you know. Like I said, I wasn't really ranked nationally. So going into my sophomore year, really before I got ranked, I got a lot of respect for Archie Miller. That's why it was crazy that he ended up at IU. I thought it was pretty funny, but like people don't know, a lot of people don't know who didn't know then. Dayton, University of Dayton was my very first ever offer. So I kept them in my final three because they always showed me love regardless. So he offered me that year, my freshman summer at the team camp. Like, you know, you would go to a little team camp, college camp, and that was the first one. And then, you know, then Paint came in, and then, you know, Purdue came, and then West Virginia offered, Michigan offered, then it just kind of started piling on top of each other as the years went on.
Right.
And so just that recruiting process was good because a lot of Midwest schools, a lot of schools are showing interest, but it got narrowed down because, I mean, even Ohio State at one point in time was recruiting. And that story is kind of shaky though, because obviously I didn't end up there. So, that's a story for another time, but it was cool, man. It was really cool to actually be a part of that process. Like I got to watch my older brother be a part of that process and see him go on visits and unofficial visits and be there and just see how it worked out for him. So with Paint and Purdue, how I got there, man, it's just I couldn't turn and go nowhere without seeing Paint, dog. Like it was the craziest thing ever, man. I would not even expect Coach Paint to be there. Like that was the craziest thing for me. Originally it was Coach Shrewsbury before he left and went to Boston with Brad Stevens.
Yep.
Because Coach Shrewsbury was recruiting my brother to Butler when my brother was coming out of high school. So that's how the relationship even kindled. So it was really Coach Shrews who kind of put that relationship together between me and Purdue and Coach Fenner. But Purdue recruited my brother too, but obviously he went to Penn State to start. So, but we were actually in Indiana playing in the Speece for Wayne. And that's how like Coach Shrews was walking past and noticed my brother and my dad was coaching. And they was like, wait, who they here? And he seen me, obviously he put the, you know, relationship together, see how big I got. And he was just like, he stood there and watched the entire game. And the next thing I know, that relationship kindled. And it was just history from there. Like I said, I couldn't go nowhere without seeing Paint. Nowhere. Like I remember one time I was just, it's like sophomore year, bro. Junior year, I think. I'm like super tired walking out. You know, we didn't have class all day, schoolwork all day. So I'm like, I ain't gonna lie. I walked in the practice like, man, let's just get this practice over with. I'll walk around the corner, bro. Paint's in the gym already sitting there, bro. I'm like, yo, what is going on?
Oh, that's funny, man.
Like, couldn't escape it, bro. He would be practices, open gyms. Like, you know how it be when you go to, like, the smaller tournaments at AAU, and a lot of coaches, like we'll see you when you play real competition or the bigger opponents.
Right.
Payne didn't care about none of that, bro. He was at all of them games. Like, and
he said Payne was pulling up.
Pulling up everywhere, like, out of the blue. I remember he told me some story when I got to Purdue, was just kind of talking about how I was stretching, like I was leading a stretch with the team or whatever, and they weren't stretching. He was like, I just heard you start cussing them out. He was like, you didn't even know I was there yet. He was like, but you was cussing them out over stretching. And he was like, man, I knew you were serious. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I had a lot of guys who like to clown a little bit, so we had to get them in line for a second. And so I think that was
Oh
one of the craziest
man.
stories because I had no idea Peyton was there. But that just goes to show you like how much Purdue showed how invested they were in me. Like, it's
Yeah.
just a normal high school practice, and I'm not even knowing Coach Payne is in
That's
the
what's
hallway
up.
listening.
That's
So
what's up.
I think that was it, man. There was nothing else to be said. I was made a priority, and it kind of went off
Yeah.
from there.
And talk just because I mean, hearing that, it just kind of, I always tell kids, because now I'm a coach at AAU, I'm a 17U coach. I always tell kids that I mentor, when you're thinking about recruiting, you think about colleges, you got to go somewhere that you feel appreciated, you feel wanted. Like you said, Payne was there. He was watching. He was everywhere you turn. If you had any advice to somebody that was coming through the process or someone that was just starting out, maybe a late bloomer, somebody listening now, what type of advice would you give them going through the recruiting process?
I would just say try to trust the people you're around and that you have in the background. And for those who aren't fortunate enough, then trust your mentor. So if they got somebody like you or a coach or somebody that they have, because it's hard for a young guy to kind of separate, you know, who has his best interest versus who's just filling his head up, or a
It's
young
true.
w girl or boy. So
Thanks.
I think that's tough for them. So it's all about your surroundings sometimes, and then just kind of try to find that guidance from the right person, and look at what they've done. Like, don't just like live. Like, you got to kind of do your research as well, because you got to, you know, be able to see like this. He went to college, or they help produce these kids, or they help do these things. So I would just say, when the coach is talking to you, that's your chance to just be as open with them as possible and just ask them right away, like, how do they see you here? What do they expect of you? And just don't let them sell the dream. Like, I think that was one thing that Paint didn't do, man. He did not sell me no type of dream. It was straight shot, straight forward, and that's how it went. And I think that was the selling point for me, because he didn't promise me anything. He didn't say like, hey, you was gonna come to Purdue and start, or this was that. He was like, you can earn a spot. You know, that was his approach. But I think he sold me and sold all our whole class on, you know, with Dakota, PJ, Isaac, and Kill. I think he being a turning point. Like, and obviously, you know, with you and AJ as being an upperclassman that year, and then we had Kendall and Baz and him and Neil and McJohn. Oh, he had a good, I mean, Penny, man. Like, I missed them days, man. That was some good days. We had Bryson as well. Like, we had the crew, man. We had the
Had a good
crew in.
squad.
But
My
when we got
question about is that
there,
like, and I won't cut you off too.
no, you're good.
I wondered this because I was there. We came in last place, Big Ten, whatever. But who commits and signs to the last place team in the Big Ten? Like, what made you do that? Like, I know Payton was cool, but Payton was coaching the last place team in the Big Ten. What was it about the situation that you saw yourself in?
I like the challenge. I think that was the biggest thing for me. Like, I love the challenge of that. And Dakota was honestly the first dude to commit in our class. So I give Dakota a lot of credit because he made the first jump. And to credit, you know, I told you the story about you. You didn't even know I remember that. Now, I'm gonna go ahead and tell it for the people anyway. Like, for people who didn't know, this man Ray was at my AAU game. I'll never forget it. I'm like, bro, who is this man? This dude in this Purdue gear, and with glasses on, like at the game, like show, like I remember you, like, man, show me something. I'm like, bro, what? I'm like, where bro come from? Like, so, and when I found out who you was after the game, I'm like, man, that shows, you know, something special. And that from you was like another thing that I held close, that I told you about,
So,
that you didn't even know that I remember, but I
yeah,
remember
facts, I
that,
did it.
man.
Yeah, it's all right.
And Dakota was the same way, man. Like I said, he was the early commit in our class, and he was there at my official visit. Like, when I made my official visit, Dakota made it a point to be there. And like I said, man, I just like the challenge. Like, regardless if it was last place, I think I got asked that question a lot, because obviously Michigan was in my top, and people were like, why, like, you know, like, what about Michigan? Their Final Four run, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, that's cool. Like, Don't get me wrong, like I was intrigued by Michigan. Like I'm never gonna lie about that, but it was just like I got sold on it, man. I got sold on being like trying to be the turning point, like trying to help, rebuild what once was. I was in Mackey Arena when my brother played there. Penn State came there and Robbie, Etuan, all the Chris, Juwan, like I was there. Like I seen what it was. And
What's up?
I couldn't turn it down, bro. Like I love the challenge. I love, going into that adversity. I loved who it made me. And coming out of high school, like we were kind of like that, where I feel like, I had some responsibilities to take on. And I didn't have to shoulder as much, my freshman year or going to Purdue with y'all, because two defensive player of the year, like I'm cool on that. I can just kind of float around and be myself. So not only, was it a good situation, but I just had y'all around me who just kind of made that easier for me. So
But we can't. I like how you said that. I was real humble what you just did. You didn't have as much on your shoulders, but just as your freshman year, what you came in and what you did as a freshman, I mean, it can't be overlooked. Because I don't think you get enough. I mean, this is just me talking, me and you. I mean, obviously, it's not me and you at this point, but I don't think you get enough credit for what you did as a freshman. Because obviously, I get a lot of credit for the turnaround. AJ gets a lot of credit, obviously, for what he was, but for what you was able to do, come in as a freshman. I think you were freshman of the week 3 times. I think you led us in assists that year. I think you were. I think either you broke or was close to breaking the freshman assist record. So I mean, for you to come in and play the four and lead the team in assists as a freshman, break records. I mean, you broke freshman records. I mean, you know what I mean? So that's what one, I don't think you realized what you was out there doing as a freshman. I don't think fans realized that year we were leaning on you. And I mean, you had a lot going on in your personal life too. So for you to be able to come in 18 years old, be able to deal with everything you had personally going on, but come in and be a catalyst on a Division I team that was trying to make a turnaround. I mean, you definitely did it. I mean, you went. And I think that's why the fans had so much of a high expectation for your career. I mean, because when you look at what you did, amazing. But it's always as if fans still know, I mean, Vince has more and still has more to give to the game. And which is why I love how you keep going at it, what you're doing now, because bro, I'm thinking about your freshman year. I've seen it. You know what I mean? I've seen your sophomore year, that transition to your junior year, then going into your senior year, which y'all guys was able to do and win those games, man. I mean, it was beautiful to watch. But kind of, I know I went off on a little tangent, man, because
Yeah, you're
I'm
good.
proud of your Purdue career. But nah, man, just talk about though being a freshman. You come into atmosphere. I mean, you are the guy. Because I mean, paint was on you. I mean, you were a guy that you had. We had to get things from you, had to produce. What's that like being a freshman going on the road? Because we see Jaden Ivey, we see the five freshmen out there, we see the ups and the downs, but you were a guy that, I mean, we were dependent on every game. How was that? I never got to ask you that. I never really could, but now I can.
It was crazy, man, because I kind of wanted it though. Like I was kind of happy about it, 'cause I'm like,
That's
you
what's
know what?
up.
Like if I could come in and they access to me, like I know I could come in here and produce. And I've always known I've had a natural feel for the game. And I think for me personally, like obviously I don't really feel like, I don't want to call it pressure, because I don't really feel like it's pressure just playing basketball, like you're doing what you love. But like at the same time, like you said, there was those expectations. And me personally, like I loved having them because I wanted to meet them and exceed them and then not let y'all down in the same process. So for me, it was just coming in and trying to make a name for myself. And like we talked about, like trying to help us win. So me leading the team and assists, like that, I was used to, being the guy to facilitate. So that wasn't nothing, that I wasn't used to. I just think like it just took a lot of focus. And y'all did a good job with helping me stay focused. Like I said, the supporting cast that I had, because personal times is hard, man. Having a kid coming into college is tough. And I had a lot of people looking down on that. And so like for me, from a personal standpoint, like I knew there was a lot for me coming in, but I just knew like if I trusted everybody around me that was, there for me, like, and you was there from day one, from being a captain, being a leader, And, having my brothers and my supporting cast made it a lot easier.
I hope everybody out there is enjoying these stories from Vince right now. We cut this one short due to some technical difficulties, but make sure you stay tuned for part two. Everybody out there, boiler up, hammer down, all here at Purdue. We're back podcasting every single week now. Make sure you guys stay tuned.